We're going to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Amen. I am a worshiper. Amen. And I can't be anybody other than who I am. Amen. I don't mean no disrespect. Amen. If I was in the club, I'd be the first one on the floor. And amen. Come on, talk back. Why y'all looking at me like that? Like y'all ain't never, you know, see, you, it don't make no sense to go if you ain't gonna dance. Those of you that like to still go to the bars, I hope you, you know, I'm getting in trouble, but it don't make no sense to go if you're not going to drink. It just, now don't y'all go out of here and say, Pastor Crenshaw was saying that we need to go to the bar and drink. That's not what I'm saying. Understand what I'm saying. You don't go to places and not do what you're supposed to do. Don't get on the basketball court if you ain't got no game. If you ain't got no game, then you might as well stay on the side and cheer. Don't come out here if you're not going to bring it. So if we're going to come to God's house, we might as well worship. Amen? Anybody come to worship on today? 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 23. Thank you, Jesus. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, that taketh away the reproach, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? I'm going to stop right there. This is a familiar story to many of us. And I just want to talk as you're taking your seat. I know, I don't know if y'all do that. I don't have y'all talk to your neighbors so much. But look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, no matter what they think about you, God has the last say. Come on, come on, come on. Look at the other person. Say, neighbor, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you say about me. God has the last say. Come on, you gotta find one more person. You gotta help me preach this thing up in here. Come on, say, neighbor, let them say what they want. God has the last say. Come on, if you believe it, put those hands together and give God some praise in this place. Father, help us even now. We don't need to hear from a man, but God, we need to hear directly from you. Speak life even now, from the youngest to the oldest. Oh God, let your word come forth with clarity, that we might leave this place empowered, encouraged, strengthened, oh God, through your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, say it again. God, God, God has the last say. God, God has the last say. Thank God, thank God, thank God. For this worship experience, and for our young people strengthening us and reminding us and encouraging us of how powerful we are, and the contributions that we have a people has made down through the years. And see, one thing, when you talk about Black history and Black heritage, you've got to always be mindful that one of the hardest things for us to do is to overcome negative thoughts and negative words. You've got to understand, when I was young, they told us and they tried to teach us that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never harm you. And I had to grow a little bit until I found out that that wasn't the truth. Amen. I don't have too much hair on my head right now, but when I was in the fourth grade, and it's a lot of years ago, I'm telling my age, but I can still remember my fourth grade teacher. Her name was Miss Yolanda Butts, and my hair was nappy back then. And I remember, as a young boy, I went to school and she said, Jeffrey, when you gonna comb your hair? Now, y'all might say, why are you saying that? But that was something that was said to me when I was just a young boy, and it stuck in my mind. And ever, come on, talk back to me, y'all. My father didn't take me to the barbershops. He practiced on me himself. So my line was a little crooked and I wasn't as fly as everybody else. So along with all of that, that kind of messed up my psyche, and it kind of messed up my self-esteem. So I didn't think I had it going on like everybody else did. Come on, y'all got to hear what I'm saying. But you've got to get to the place where you understand that you can't can't let what people say and how people define you and how people judge you. You can't let people put you in a box and make you feel like you're less than everybody else. I wish somebody would have told me back then, it don't matter what your hair look like, what you got going on the inside, that's what determines who you are. It's early, but give somebody a high five and say, neighbor, God is looking at your heart and not what you got on the outside. Y'all got me preaching harder than I should be. Y'all got me preaching harder than I should be. And so what we've got to understand is that that's why you got to be careful how you talk to folk. That's why you got to be careful how you size folk up. That's why you got to be careful what words you use to speak, what words you use to talk over, because they stick into our mind. Am I talking to anybody up in here yet? Did anybody have some folk that talk wrong? And come on, I know you're grown now. There's still some people on the job that don't talk right to you. Come on. Some of us sit under some folk that still don't talk right to us. So you've got to be careful. You've got to get to the place where you understand that what people say and their perception of you is not the final say. God has the last say, because people will misread you. People will mess up who they think you are. Good God Almighty. But by the time God gets finished with you, God is going to blow their mind. I dare you to look at somebody and say, neighbor, God is about to blow somebody's mind because they misread your situation, they misread your circumstances, they misread you, they written you off, they said you wasn't going to be nothing, but God has the last say. I'm trying to hurry up through this so I don't bore y'all. I don't know what time y'all usually get out, Lady Williamson, and so I don't want my friend to call me and say, Crenshaw, you held the people too long. 3 points, and I'm not really a point preacher, but 3 points I'm going to talk about briefly as we go through this lesson. They overestimated Goliath. That's the first one. They overestimated Goliath. They estimated you, and then the last one will be that they underestimated God. Come on, say it back with me. Number one, they overestimated Goliath. Number two, they estimated you. And then number three, they underestimated God. What do you mean, Pastor Crenshaw, when you say they overestimated Goliath? When we come to our text, and many of us know this Sunday school story, we know about David. We know about how he went out to the battle where his brothers were fighting, and when Saul, where the warriors were at. We know how they were down there in the valley. We know how even though they were soldiers of war, they were afraid of Goliath. They didn't even want to go battle Goliath. They were afraid to even walk up. I didn't watch the fight last night, but they told me Wilder got knocked out or got stopped. Or come on, who watched the fight last night? Y'all don't watch the fight up in here? Y'all ain't boxing fans. All right, I got one witness right there. But I remember coming up watching Mike Tyson, and half of the battles, more than half of his fights, they were won before he even got into the ring. Because when you saw Mike coming out, Mike had the eye of the tiger. Mike had that look like he was going to destroy who was ever in front of him. But when the other fighter came out, that fighter was nervous. You could see that they were shaking in their boots. And so their mind was already messed up, because going in, they knew that they were about to get knocked out. They were just trying to figure out how they were going to survive. I'm here to tell you that you've got to watch it, because what the enemy will make us think is that he is so big, that he is so powerful, that he is so mighty, that he is so overwhelming, that before you even get in the battle, you ain't got no chance to win. But I've come to tell you today, Bethel, that God says, I don't care how big the problem is that you're facing. I don't care what the giant is. I don't care what the opposition is. You've got to know that you've got a God on the inside that can handle whatever the problem is. Can you shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, don't put Goliath too big. Don't give him too much power. Don't give him too much authority, because God is going to show up and he's going to show out. Goliath represents your biggest fear, your biggest problem, your biggest enemy. There is nothing. I don't care if it's depression. I don't care if it's financial struggles. I don't care what you're facing. And I don't say that to make light of it, because what you're going through is big to you. But whatever you are battling right now, we're good and we're dressed up. One thing, I've gotten to the place where I start to tell folk, we as church people, we've gotten too good at hiding our pain. We've gotten too good at hiding when we're going through something. So we're in here lifting our hands and giving God praise because we know what to do. But on the inside, we're hurting. I don't know about you. I don't want to come to God's house, be in all this good worship, give God praise, sweat, fall out, run around. I don't want to do all of that and still go out of here and don't have no victory. Still go out of here and still be messed up in my spirit. So what we need to do, we need to get to the place where we understand that folk can come to church and lay down their burdens. Folk can come to church and say, I got a problem. Folk can come to church and say, I'm discouraged. Folk can come to church and say, I'm battling depression. And you not look at them like they're not saved. The devil is a liar. Just because you have moments when your mind is messed up, it doesn't mean that you don't love God. It don't mean that your faith is not where it is. What it means is that you're battling something in the moment that you wish you could get some relief from. Am I talking to anybody up in here? I want to be able to come to church. The scripture says, your program says that freedom is what you're talking about this month. It don't make no sense to come to church and not get free. I dare you to throw your hands up. I dare you to jump to your feet and say, I'm not leaving like I came. Whatever I'm bound with, God can deliver. Tell somebody, God is here to deliver. God, God is here to deliver. God, come on, say it to somebody. God is here to deliver. So whatever your Goliath is today, that's so intimidating, that's got you shaking, that's got you wondering if God is on your side, God sent me up the road to let you know that he has the last say. Seeing what you gotta be careful is because what people do, people will misread you according to the circumstances that you are in. Y'all better hear this. God help us, because you're going through right now, because you're in a moment of transition, because things don't look so well, that doesn't mean that God is not on your side. That doesn't mean that God's hand is not on your life. Y'all got kind of quiet right there. That means I got a witness somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. God, I know I'm in the right place on today, because sometimes we like to look. Sometimes we like to judge. Come on, see, that's why you gotta be careful. And that's where we get to our next point, where they estimated David. They didn't recognize who he was in God. There's so many people that misread you. There's so many people that don't have a clue. You gotta hear me, young folk. You gotta hear me, ma'am. You gotta hear me, sir. Don't let people, number one, that don't have a prayer life, try to tell you who you are in God and who you not. How are you going to tell me what God is going to do and not do in my life? And I don't never see you at prayer service. I don't hear you on the prayer call. You ain't got no connection with God like that. I know you got money, but money can't break demonic holes. I need somebody that can wrestle with the forces of hell. You gotta learn who you need to let speak into your spirit and who you don't. Come on, talk back to me, y'all. Just because they got on black and white, just because they got a title. Come on. The folks used to tell me, the officers used to tell me, Pastor, you gotta make them respect me. I can't make nobody respect you. If you don't live your life a certain kind of way, it don't matter what title you got in front of your name or behind your name. But when you live the life, people will know how to respect your authority in the kingdom. You don't need authority in the natural. You need authority in the kingdom. Is there anybody up in here? You got some authority in the spiritual realm because you know how to pray.
Good God Almighty.
They They estimated David. They his own brothers got mad at him for showing up. You ever wonder why folk look at you and try to wonder why you here? You know, you ever wonder why folk try to say, wait a minute, why are you trying to be involved? And you ain't trying to. I ain't got to be on the program. I ain't got to be in the front. I ain't got to have the mic in my hand. When you anointed, all you got to do is show up in the place. When you anointed, the scripture says every place that your foot shall tread upon, God is going to give it to you. You ain't got to have a title. Real leadership has influence. Good God Almighty, I'm trying not to walk around. I'm sorry. I've come to serve notice on some folk that done sized you up, that done peeped you out, that done already decided that God is not going to use you. Baby, you can think what you want to think. I'm so glad you got to shut some people down. You got to stop some people in their tracks, good God Almighty. You got to, and then there's some of us up in here that God is still working on us. And if folk don't be careful, you're going to find out how much I used to be in the street, because you keep coming at me in the wrong kind of way. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to keep you from. Only about 20 of us up in here. Only about 30 of us up in here. Folk ain't got but this much more space to go before you gonna end up in the meeting in pastor's office, because they keep saying the wrong thing out your mouth. But I'm here to tell you, when you hear what God is saying, when folk are not in touch with God, they can't speak right over your life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. A praise gotta go right there, because there's been some folk that have been misreading us and they have been off. David's own family didn't recognize what God was doing in his life. His own father didn't even think enough to bring him in the house when the prophet came to anoint one of his own father didn't even see in David. So you got to be careful, because sometimes those that are close to you will miss what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. And I got to say this before I move. Because and I might have said this to you a couple of years ago, but let me reiterate it, because some of y'all wasn't here in the afternoon. Good God Almighty. But we get so quick to jump on folk who are hating against us. But can I tell you that you got haters, but you also got doubters. I'm gonna say it again. You gotta know that there is a difference between haters and doubters. Somebody asked me, what's the difference, Rev? I'm so glad you asked me. See, haters are people that they recognize that you got it going on, and they want what you have. They want your position. They want your favor. They want your husband. They want your wife. They want. Hey, haters know, and they're not denying that you're anointed, but they don't want to do the work. They don't want to go through what you went through in order to be anointed by God. Those are haters. They recognize God's hand on your life. But there's a different young people. Doubters don't see what God is doing in your life. Doubters overlook you. Doubters say you ain't gonna never be nothing. Doubters say you ain't gonna graduate. Doubters say you always gonna be a mess. Doubters say you gonna be just like your no good daddy. Doubters say you gonna be like the one in your family. Doubters won't speak. It's not so much, good God Almighty, y'all got to get this. I gotta thank God for my haters, but I got to pray for my doubters, because they're just not to the place where God has revealed what he's going to do. Joseph's brothers hated him. David's brothers didn't hate him, but they doubted.
See, in order for you to go forward, in order for you to stop getting upset with the wrong people, you got to know the difference. You got to let some folk down on you. You got to let some good God Almighty. I hear Jill Scott. I don't know if y'all into Jill Scott. She has that song, "You Can Hate on Me If You Want To." You got to let folk do what they do and don't let it bother you. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, hate all you want, doubt all you want, talk all you want, saw all the negativity you want, but in a few days, God is going to show you what I'm made of. In a few days, God is going to let everybody see that the power that's working on the inside is greater than anything. I done held you too long. Say it one more time. God, God, God has the last say. God, God, God has the last say. Amen. Young folk, what is Pastor Crenshaw trying to say? Don't let folk estimate you and put you in a box. Amen. That God hasn't put you in. You ain't got to be like what you see on TV. You ain't got to be like what you see. Come on, talk back to me, y'all. You got to be careful. I like to put on my Tims every once in a while. I'll put on my, come on. I like to put on my jeans. Y'all know, I'm down to earth. I'm regular. I am. But then you also got to still let these young brothers, and that's why it's good to see them dressed in our African garb. But then it's good every once in a while to let them see you with the tie on. Let them see you with the bow tie on, because you're not going to walk up in any job with your pants hanging down and think that they're going to give you the job. No, they're not, because they're going to look you up and down and they're going to say, all right, if you didn't have enough sense to pull yourself together while you walk up, come on, talk back to me, y'all. Honey, I know you got it going on. I know you could be in the model business. I know that God has blessed you physically, but you got to cover some of that stuff. You got to loosen some of that stuff. I know it's your body, but you don't want folk to just deal with you based on how you look on the inside. You want folk to deal with you how you are. You want folk to deal with you by what's in your heart and what's in your mind, not what shape you have. And this society has gotten us messed up, because we want to get our faces beat and go on and get it beat. That's all right. We want to get our hairs done, our hair done, our nails done, our toes. Do all of that. But you got to know that even on a day when you don't have your hair done, even on a day when you don't got your toes done, that you still got it going on. Is there anybody up in here that even when you wake up in the morning with your scarf on, ladies, you still know that you are the best that God has to offer? Is there a brother up in here that when you put your do-rag on at night, it don't mean that you a thug? You just trying to work out your holy waves, but that's not what makes you. I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna wrap up. I'm so sorry for keeping y'all so long. I remember some years ago, and I'm always one that believes that preachers got to be involved in the community, and it was early and I was moving my car and had my shorts on. It was summertime, and they called me that one of the families that I grew up with, that one of the brothers had, that he had died. It was early in the morning. I was moving my car and had my shorts on, and it was a real big family, you know, family of 7 or 8 sons and nieces and nephews and cousins, and they were hood. They were hood. Somebody say they were hood. So you know they were hood, but you know, you love people. Amen. I got some hood in me. Come on. Anybody got some hood in you? Come on. Come on. Don't act like you ain't holy and got some hood wrapped up in there together. Good God Almighty. You got to still be able to go into the hood and minister to the folk, because God saves you. Don't mean that you better than nobody. You got to have enough that you could still go in and the folk can respect you. What am I trying to say, Jamal? I rushed over to the house and the guy had died. Bless his heart, he had died right in the bathroom. And so now the word is going out, and all the family is coming, and the police are there, because when they have to determine how a person died, they block off the scene. But now that when I said it's a big family, there's 50, 60, 70, and not just the immediate family, but now the whole neighborhood is coming, because this guy was love. And so now they're all coming and they're angry and they're upset and they're hurt. And here I am in my shorts and my fitted cap. And the police are looking to me because they see, I didn't have to say that I was Reverend Crenshaw, but they could tell how the people were responding to me. And I was able to get them to kind of bridle their anger. And so they were leading, looking for me to lead them, to help them to deal with the situation, because the folk wanted to run up in there and get, you know how folk, we don't like the police up in our house. We don't want them in our stuff. And especially if you might have some stuff up in there that you don't, y'all know what I'm talking about. I got to be careful because we online. Yeah. But so here I am. Now, if I didn't have any kind of anointing, if I didn't have any kind of presence, I would have had to run and get my tie or get my collar or pull out my Bible or start handing out my card to say, you got to respect me because I'm so and so. No, you ain't got to know my name, but my presence alone has got to be enough to command. Tell somebody, your presence has got to be enough to command. Respect has got to be enough to take hold of the situation. Good God Almighty. And I say that to say this. I told you I'm closing this up because I done yelled at y'all too long. When you recognize your worth, and we have a lot of folk that are strong on that. Come on, tell somebody, know your worth. Know your worth. Come on, tell somebody, know your worth. But see, we can't stop there because a lot of us, we understand who we are, but now the problem comes. You see yourself in a good light, but you got a problem seeing your brother or your sister in a good light. Y'all was with me until I got to that part. I think we got a problem in some of our churches because we forgive ourselves and we believe we're going to heaven no matter what we've done, and we know what we've done. But when it comes to our brother and our sister, we don't want to give them no grace. We don't want to give them, y'all know I'm talking right. We don't want to give them no mercy. Why is it sometimes that church folk seem to be the most meanest people on... What you talking about, Reverend? Sometimes you can get more love in the street than you can in the church from the folk that sit up month after month and take communion. Y'all better talk back to me. We're missing something. You can't just recognize your own worth. You got to recognize the worth in your brother and your sister. If God is good enough to save you, God is good enough to save them. Come down off your high horse and bring them with you. Tell somebody, know your neighbor's worth. Come on, say it again. Know your neighbor's worth. Know your neighbor's worth. Know your neighbor. Know your neighbor's worth. Even if you don't like them, that don't mean that they're not worth something to God. Even if you know their history. God has a way of cleaning us up. Can I get a witness anywhere? Come on, that ought to be everybody. Everybody's hand ought to win up because all of us got some mess somewhere in our life. All of us got a history. All of us got a past. All of us are ex something. And if you're not ex something, then you must not really be delivered yet, because God has got to have brought you out of something, out of darkness into the marvelous light. Somebody got to give him some praise because you've been delivered. Can you stand to your feet right there and give God some praise? If he brought you out of something, if he delivered you from something, from drugs, from low self-esteem, come on, from poverty, you better give God some praise for being a deliverer. They overestimated Goliath. They estimated you got it wrong. And here's where we're going home with. They underestimated God. I know when I first heard this, I said, well, most times we want to say people underestimate us. How many think that? That's a normal thought, but you got to be careful. Because when you say they underestimate you, you're putting the onus on yourself like you can handle it by yourself. It's not really you that they're underestimating. It's the God that you serve that they're underestimating. David, when he got the bag and he was running, Goliath started making jokes and cracking, saying, listen, they done sent me a little boy. David said, you can make fun if you want, but I'm coming in the name.
Get to the place where people can try to say what they want about you. But at the end of the day, what you got to understand is I've got a God on the inside. Come on, y'all. I've got a God on the inside that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. I've got a God on the inside that Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I got a God on the inside that the word says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. When you mistreat me, you are underestimating the God that is on my side. I want to pray. Is it all right if I pray? Can I call folk to the altar? Come on, if somebody, if you feel this message was for you in any kind of way, I just want to pray, and I'm giving the mic up. Good God Almighty, I am an encourager, and I've got a spirit of encouragement here today. Thank you, Jesus.
Woo, God, I thank you. Thank you.
People have spoken things about you, to you, and against you. But God sent me here to say that he's got the last say. He didn't say no weapon would form. He said it won't prosper. Hallelujah. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. This message is for everyone, no matter how young, no matter how old you are. You've got to be encouraged. Whatever you're dealing with right now, whatever Goliath is in your life, whatever is seemingly insurmountable, whatever you feel like you can't overcome, whatever you might be addicted to that you're trying to let go, you can't do it by yourself. Sometimes the program is not enough. Notice I said sometimes, because we in the church have got to get to the place where we understand that it takes prayer and it takes counseling. Yeah, yeah. Takes prayer and it takes therapy. Yes, we can pray and break the stronghold, but some of us still need to go and sit and talk through some things. And it don't mean that you're crazy. You can talk so you don't go crazy. But for too many times, for too long in our community, we feel like it's a black eye if we go and sit to a therapist. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. They've trained. You've even got saved folk who are educated, who are learned, who are trained, so they can give you what you need in the natural and in the spiritual. But don't sit there and be bound. Don't sit there and suffer silently. You can't afford to be a secret to yourself. Father, for each and every one of these under the sound of my voice, thank you for bringing us here on this day. We're going to continue to celebrate our heritage, but on the calendar, this is the last Sunday of our month. But God, I thank you. They've been talking crazy to us, good God Almighty. They've been calling us everything but a child of God. They've been talking down. They have misread us. They have put us in a box. They have did everything they could to stop us. But God, I thank you for reminding us that you have the last say. You gave our forefathers, our foremothers, the strength to take a stand. We've got parents and grandparents who have marched. We've got parents and grandparents who have been beaten. We've got folk in our blood that were hosed down in the streets. God, we got folk in our blood that were hung. But you still got the last say.
They might have attacked our body, but they can't destroy our spirit. They can't destroy our soul. Because we belong to you. So God, I pray for strength right now. I pray for healing right now. I pray for deliverance right now. I pray for freedom in our minds right now. I pray for the Spirit to give us the spirit of discernment so we can see who we are and we can see who our neighbors are and we can recognize our greatness. Build us up from the inside out. From the inside out. Woo. That's why they could clean houses with dignity. That's why they could wash bathrooms but still make money and save and do more than we're doing with six-figure jobs, because they knew who they were on the inside. Help us to recognize it, God. And when you speak over us, doesn't matter what any devil might say. Doesn't matter what any non-believer might say. Doesn't even matter what some who might have the skin color might say. Some have the same color, but they're not our kind. And that's not to be negative or derogatory, but that just means they're not at the same place in faith where we are. Hold us, God. Build up these young people, oh God. Strengthen them and encourage them, God. Even now when there's violence all around them, oh God, there's so many pitfalls for them to fall into, oh God. There's so many influences, God. We pray right now for their mind, God, their mind, God, their mind, God, their heart, God, their scarred, God, their spirit. We pray, God, for their wisdom and their understanding, that they might act, that you might accelerate it, oh God, that they might be ahead of their years. So they won't get hoodwinked, so they won't get bamboozled. Thank you, Father. Keep us, oh God, in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, hug somebody, hug somebody.